Welcome to today's audiocast from Aviation International News, the most respected source for business aviation news.
This is AIN Online News Editor Chad Trotvetter reporting from Naples, Florida, where the American Association of Airport Executives held its General Aviation Issues Conference earlier this week. Not surprisingly, aviation user fees and FAA reauthorization permeated many of the discussions during a AAAE event. We caught up with National Association of State Aviation Officials President and CEO Henry Ogorodzinski at the conference to get both a Washington and state-level view of this hot topic.
The bill in the House has been completed. It is in good shape. It is a bill that is endorsed by virtually everyone in the general aviation community. It is a bill that does not have user fees. It is a bill that very generously invests in the infrastructure for airports, so it's an important bill. In the Senate, however, there has not yet been a conference between the Senate Finance Committee and the Senate Commerce Committee. In the Senate Commerce Committee, you will recall that user fees were passed by one vote. Senator Stevens of Alaska voted for user fees, and so we lost that by the slimmest of all margins. And Senator Lott and Senator Rockefeller, who are pro-user fee, also sit on the Finance Committee. They tried to amend the Finance Committee bill on several occasions to add user fees. The Finance Committee did not accept those amendments. And so we have two very different bills in the same body in the Senate, one bill that has user fees and one bill that has not got user fees in it. And the staffs of the two committees have not been meeting, so very little has happened on the Senate side. We have to reconcile that difference in the Senate before we can go to a conference committee meeting between the House and the Senate from which a final bill would evolve. That conference committee has not yet been assigned a time. The only conferee that I know of right now is the leader, who will be Senator Inouye of Hawaii.
Congress has extended the FAA reauthorization until November 15th, give or take. Obviously, that's less than a month away. There's still a lot of divide between the two. What's going to happen from here on out?
Right now, I am not hearing a lot of interest in the Senate in compromising on the bill. And so I am not particularly sanguine that we will have a bill in time for the November 15th deadline of the continuing resolution. There's another complication. There are very, very few of the spending bills that are needed to be passed annually that have been passed. In fact, Congress has to pass a total of 12 spending bills. The president has threatened to veto many of the spending bills because, in his view, they are budget busters. There's more money being allocated to programs where the president has asked for smaller sums. That is true of our bill, of the FAA AIP reauthorization bill. The other reason the president has threatened a veto of our bill is because there are three things there that this administration just doesn't like. First of all, the House bill, if I may use that as an example, puts more money into investments for airport infrastructure than the president would like. Secondly, the House bill would reopen contract talks with the FAA controllers, which this administration doesn't approve of. And finally, this administration fought so hard for user fees that the president has said that, you know, the better funding structure is not in the bill that, if the better fund, better in his words, funding structure is not in the bill that comes to his desk, he will veto it. So even if we get to March 15th or 16th with a bill, which would be very difficult at this point, and if we were to take it to the president, it might not get signed. And so I'm very, very concerned about that.
Now, what happens as it gets into March next year? It's an election year. What's going to happen with that? There's no FAA administrators, and only an acting FAA administrator. There's really nobody steering, at least officially. So what's going to happen?
Well, that's difficult. Bobby Sturgill is the acting FAA administrator. Ruth Lawrence has become the acting deputy FAA administrator. And it seems that DOT Secretary Mary Peters has her hand on the tiller. She is the one who has called the meeting in New York, for instance, regarding the congestion that we are seeing at JFK. So it's going to be a very interesting dynamic. You're absolutely correct. We're going into an election year, which is going to have another dimension to it because of these issues. The Democrats are much more interested in the reopening the labor talks with the controllers than the Republicans are. That could become a major stumbling point in the campaign. So there are a lot of dynamics at work here, which have led to a number of Washington prognosticators to say we might not have a bill. We might be working on a continuing resolution until the next president is elected.
Now, speaking of user fees, you helped form the Alliance for Aviation. Can you tell us about that and how it was formed and what it's doing?
Yes, the Alliance for Aviation Across America, and I hope your listeners all go to aviationacrossamerica.com because that's where they're going to find it. And aviationacrossamerica.com is a very important organization. There are a number of us in Washington who are very, very concerned about the propaganda being put out by the airline industry and by the administration. Let's face it, the airline industry calls their propaganda smart skies. And that really sounds smart to me. Boy, I wish I had thought of that. And they're talking about, for instance, how general aviation is cluttering up the entire air transport system. And clearly that is not true. Anybody who knows the facts knows it's not true. But they have Edna, who is wearing her big wig, but doesn't like to subsidize big wigs, or i.e. people in general aviation aircraft. So they've been spending millions of dollars. In fact, their lobbying costs for this year have been over $11 million. The airlines have invested over $11.3 million as of this date in lobbying alone. That's not counting the advertisements. Someone somehow needed to counter that, and nobody in the industry, the general aviation industry, has $11 million to spend on campaigns of that nature. The organization, the Alliance for Aviation Across America, aviationacrossamerica.com, was founded by the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, AOPA, the National Business Aviation Association, NBAA, and NASAO, the National Association of State Aviation Officials. We founded that organization because we are very, very concerned that the American public could be swayed by the outright lies and propaganda being put out by the administration and being put out by the airlines. The user fee issue has never been about congestion. The user fee issue has never been about FAA modernization. It is only about giving the airlines a tax break, and the American public needs to know that. So that's why we formed the Alliance. We've got over 3,000, a little under 4,000 members, I believe, now. And in many cases, those members are businesses or like NASAO. NASAO is listed as a member, but all 50 states and Guam and Puerto Rico are members of NASAO. So by virtue of that, we're actually larger than our one membership. I joined the Alliance as a personal member because I want to make sure that my voice is heard as an individual regarding the fallacious arguments that are being made about user fees. So it's an important organization. I hope that everyone who is pro general aviation and opposed to user fees will join it.
Thank you for listening to today's audiocast from Aviation International News. For the latest business aviation news, go to www.ainonline.com.